Campus Radio.
Mach schon, tu es, tu es.
Okay, tu es.
In Ordnung.
Okay, im Stadion, Uhrwerk Apfelsine.
Yeah, gib ihm.
Ja, hallo und herzlich willkommen zu Uhrwerk Apfelsine. Hier ist wieder Mia Wallace. Und anlässlich nächster Woche, weil wir ja wieder einen Filmabend an der JKU haben, spielen wir heute die Wiederholung des Interviews mit Aram Grieger, denn nächste Woche screenen wir ja den Film Introspective und er ist der Regisseur. Zuvor noch ein paar kleine Informationen, und zwar morgen haben Studierende der JKU die Möglichkeit, an einem Bewerbungsfilm teilzunehmen. Und zwar findet das am Nachmittag im TNF-Turm statt und alle Studierenden haben die Möglichkeit, zu einem Sonderpreis von 50 Euro teilzunehmen. Anmelden könnt ihr euch bei dem Portal Entschuldigung, ich muss immer auf den Computer starren und dann werde ich leicht abgelenkt. Habe ich die Adresse momentan nicht da. Meinjobvideo.at. Jeder, der interessiert dran ist, kann sich dort anmelden. Infos findet ihr dann später auch nach der Sendung auf unserer Homepage www.uhrwerkapfelsine.at. Aber zunächst folgt noch ein kleines Lied von den Sisters of Mercy als Einstimmung auf das Interview.
We'll be right back.
Ja, da sind wir wieder. Ich möchte nochmal an morgen erinnern. Morgen gibt es ein Bewehr-F-Turm am Nachmittag. Also meldet euch an, nehmt teil. Es bringt euch bestimmt weiter für eure Zukunft. Und nun kommen wir zu Aram Gariga und Introspective. Wir möchten euch heute das Interview, das wir damals im April mit ihm geführt haben, nochmals präsentieren. Es ist übrigens auf Englisch gehalten, aber alles Weitere hört ihr gleich. Hier sind Mia
und Edgar Wallace.
Wie ihr vielleicht wisst, waren wir am Crossing Europe Festival vom 20. bis 26. April vertreten.
Und dort sahen wir den Film Introspective. Und nach dem Film kamen wir mit dem Regisseur ins Plaudern. Und wir haben ein Interview mit ihm gemacht.
Am 25. April trafen wir uns mit Aram Gariga, dem Regisseur von Introspective, im Kapu in Linz.
Wo wir ihn interviewten.
Es folgt nun das Interview, das wir damals aufgezeichnet haben. Es ist natürlich in Englisch gehalten, da wir selbst kein Spanisch sprechen und wohl unsere Zuhörer Spanisch auch nicht verstehen würden, zumindest nicht alle. Wir bitten deshalb um Verständnis.
So, nun viel Spaß mit dem Interview.
And how did you convince the bands to work with you?
Well, at the first we had to trick a little bit because now I have a production company, but at that time I didn't have one. So what we did was inventing one. called Undergroove Films, under which name we approached the labels and the bands, and we explained them the project and why we wanted to do it. And the thing is that most of them were very, very receptive and helpful from the beginning. The masquerade of the fake production company only was for opening doors in terms of the festival passes and stuff like this, and permission to film and these kind of things.
So it wasn't difficult to get close to the bands?
It was not really difficult because the idea, I think, was attractive to them as well, mm-hmm. to be a part of this. I don't know if somehow they were seeing that the intention was good, that what we wanted to do was to be honest to them, so they could be honest to us as well. And that's the point of the film. So in that sense, it was not difficult to get there, mm-hmm. okay. The major problems came from the labels, but not from the bands at all.
What were the difficulties with the labels?
Well, for example, I remember EMI denied the interview we were going to have with Sigur Rós, for example. Mm-hmm. And we were there already at the venue. Everything mm-hmm. had been okay for a week. And we were waiting, the whole team, for the guys from the band to make the interview. And 3 minutes before, a guy from the label mm-hmm. comes and says the interview is cancelled because EMI doesn't want to label this band under the post-rock concept mm-hmm. whatsoever, which meant that they didn't really understand what the film was about. Mm-hmm. Also, maybe it was our fault to make them understand that this was not about categorizing stuff, but the contrary, just talking about music and feelings, which... It was important, but I don't know, you know, the higher you get, the foolish people, the more foolish people you find.
They invented genre post-rock or the classification post-rock. Is it something that annoys you?
No, absolutely no. I think it's a very functional concept. Think of what would have been of the music journalism without this concept. Well, probably they would have to have worked a bit harder to... to criticize or describe stuff, but at a point everything that was sort of unclassifiable became post-rock at some point. But you have like many, many different tendencies within it, and you have instrumental and non-instrumental. Even mostly it's associated to instrumental stuff, but not necessarily. So it's nothing that annoys me at all. On the contrary, when I see the concept post-rock somewhere, I just get the record because it means that it will be interesting, at least.
Some motherfuckers think they're born to dance. Some motherfuckers think they're born to dance. Shaking like you don't know what you're waiting for. Shaking like bacon ice cold, it's floored. But you're stuck inside. Some motherfuckers think they're born to dance. Well, maybe you is born and maybe you just ends. Yeah. 57 shot, she was bound to die. Barely met a boo boo, he was bound to cry. But we're all good people here and I.
united. Corner village, make a scar. Two pink lungs are full of tar. I might live to tell the tale of how young girls once rode a whale. I'm walking in my rocking chair. Lost your strength, you lost your hair. Think they're born to dance. Some motherfuckers think they're born to dance. Not you.
Not me.
Shaking like you don't know what you're waiting for. Shake like bacon ice cold. It's floored. And again. Inside, 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 outside. Outside, 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 inside. Inside, 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 outside. Outside, 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 inside. You're inside, 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 outside. Outside, 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 inside. You're inside, 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 outside. Outside, 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 inside. You're inside, 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 outside. Outside, 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 inside. Inside, 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 outside. Outside, 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 inside. Inside, 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 outside. Outside, 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 inside, 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 inside,
inside, inside, inside, inside, inside, inside, inside, inside, inside, inside, inside, inside, inside, inside, inside, inside, inside, inside,
inside, inside, inside, inside, inside, inside, inside, a real pleasure to count on the Canadian side of the story, which is this band, which is more like a collective of people called Godspeed You Black Emperor. They have many side projects like Silver Moon Zion, Do Make Say Thing. It's pretty much instrumental stuff based on jazz and classic music and dark passages. And there is a label that releases all those bands. There are a lot of bands. There are much more than the ones I mentioned, but they share this dark political perspective of the world. And of course, in the end of the 90s, beginning of 2000s, that became boiling point, at least for political statements in music. But at the moment, they're still going on, and they don't care about post-rock so much, I think. But still, great bands.
Whatever. I went down to the beach and saw Kiki. She was all like, and I'm like, whatever. And this chick comes up to me and she's all like, hey, aren't you that dude? I'm like, yeah, whatever. So later, I'm at the pool hall and this girl comes up and she's all like, and I'm like, yeah, whatever. Cause this is my United States of whatever. And this is my United States of whatever. And this is my United States of whatever. And then it's 3 a.m. I'm on the corner wearing my leather. This dude comes up and he's like, hey, punk. I'm like, yeah, whatever. Then I'm throwing dice in the alley. Officer Leroy comes up and he's like, hey, I thought I told you. And I'm like, yeah, whatever. Then up comes Zaffo. I'm like, yo, Zaffo, what's up? He's like, Dutton. I'm like, that's cool. Cause this is my United States or whatever. And this is my United States or whatever.
How did you find your favorite bands or maybe your favorite genre? I mean, I can exactly remember when I discovered my favorite band. I saw a music video of them, and the first time I saw it, I had to laugh because it was a little bit ridiculous and embarrassing. But from then on, I was in love with this band, and this band opened a whole new world for me.
Of course. Of course, this is the way it happens, actually. You get this input one day, and you never forget it. And every time that you listen, it transports you back to that moment of joy. So it's like an...
When did you have this moment?
Well, I think it's very, very heavy, but the first thing that I remember related to music, I was 1 year and a half old. It's strange with me. Sometimes I remember stuff from when I was really, really, really young. And I remember my mother took me to a rock concert for kids that was happening in a theater one morning in Barcelona. They were called the Garigots, a band from... They used to sing stuff for kids, like Red Riding Hood, whatsoever, but with rock instruments. They would play drums, bass, guitar, and sing. And I thought it's probably the greatest thing ever. And I made my mom buy the cassette. I was listening to it like in a mad way, like all the time. And I think from then on, really, 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 really young, I just got addicted to music and never gave up afterwards.
After the first screening, you mentioned you had a own band, but I think you forgot to mention the name of your band. Could you tell us something more about your band?
Well, the name of the band is Edician. We have a MySpace that you can check if you wish, which is myspace.com/Edician band, all together. And we have been going on like for a year and a half now. I had never been in a band before, actually, before this. Used to do electronic stuff on my own, but never being in a band, actually. And this bunch of friends that used to play in extreme death metal bands since we were 15, almost. One of the guys, the guitar player, Xavi, is my assistant director now with a production company. And we started doing stuff together, and one day he said, fuck, because they had split the band. And he thought, we might redefine it and give it a new shape, and you can join, maybe mix electronics with rock and contemplative passages and sort of the music that we like, from from black metal to classical music or minimal stuff, you know. So it's, everything fits in there. And for me, it was super happy experience, because one thing is playing on your own, another thing is interacting with three more guys and seeing what comes out of it, and it's really, really nice. And at the moment, we're not playing much. We don't have much time to rehearse either, but whenever we do, which is almost twice a week or three times a week, it's probably the best moments of the week, actually, because you really feel that something is going on there. And well, now we're preparing to record like first EP this summer. Sly is helping us with the thing, because it's not easy. But just check the music and you decide by yourselves. At the moment, you will only find like bad recorded demos, but they will give you sort of an idea of the thing. I wouldn't describe myself as a musician, actually. I just play with keyboards, like simple figures with keyboards, and then also electronic stuff like processors and machines and samplers and stuff like this. I'm a bit better. And then I'm the singer as well.
Do you have plans for another movie?
Yes, actually, we have lots of plans, but you never know what's going to happen. And at the moment, we want to shoot a new documentary. It's not about music this time. It's about a Spanish writer. Well, a writer that writes in Spanish, but he is American and lives in the Mexican-American border. He's 70. He has a very interesting life. He was fighting in the Korean War so he could get the GI Bill for work in the States. And he has written like 30-something books about the life in the Mexican-American border from the war against the USA until the 90s, more or less. And so it's many generations' portrait of a culture that was the Mexican culture that was still in the United States apart, how it has been like neglected and assimilated into Anglo-centric American culture. And I think it's very interesting. My intention is to be there in August in Texas and shoot there for a couple of weeks. And then this will be a documentary. Then we're also working on a fiction project, which this is more horror film genre oriented. So we'll see what happens. Yeah, pretty much of work ahead, and music videos all the time as well, and as work as an editor, so I'm editing movies and documentaries for other people too. So yeah, we keep it busy. We'll be right back.
trees of gold. Finds a raven's head in a rattlesnake's tail. Dead in his tracks, this godforsaken soul is unwanted here. And his curse lingers for years. On the TV factory line, that smile on her face is starting to crack while wielding back the pieces of a shattered heart that's scattered out here with the ghost of her peers. Searches for her lost child along the river of tears. Drunken worlds meet. Both sides are keeping a close eye for a break in the line here on the crystal frontier. The crystal
your other movies be screened here at Crossing Europe?
I hope they want me back someday. So far it's been an amazing experience. They treated me so well. And also the movie has worked okay. It has got great reactions from the audience, from the media as well. Now you guys are here with me and I want to thank you for this. And yes, I hope to be back someday, of course.
What were your goals for this movie? Was there a special message you wanted to give to the audience?
Well, when you start doing something, you're pretty much start. I don't know who said that, but some director. But he was so right that when you start to do a movie, you begin a journey to the unknown sometimes. And with documentaries, it's even more like that, because you don't know what you will meet. You can go with certain ideas of what you want to do or what you want to talk about, but then you have to be very flexible in what kind of feedbacks do you get from the people that you are working with or the subject that you're studying in some way. and you never know. And it, for example, in this film, many stuff that was not planned suddenly came out, like this embryo sequence. These guys, I happened to meet them when I was on holidays in Cabo de Gata one summer, and they were, I was in a bar there with my uncle, and they just got there and started playing, and I couldn't believe it. And I went off to the guy, and we agreed to meet in Barcelona in September. But that was totally something that was a real gift that wasn't totally unexpected. So the goals were to basically do something that we could be happy with, and that was enough. We didn't have the goal of making money, which we haven't made any money with this film, more the opposite. But on the other hand, it has put us on the map somehow. Like, you can, it's very nice to show around the world what you do, and if people like it, then the process is complete. Also, everything you do is never finished until there is an audience that receives it and gives it back somehow. So also, when you have finished it, it's absolutely out of your control. You have to take what it comes, and this is really thrilling.
Visual Suspects is your company, but it was not launched for the movie.
The company was set when the movie was released, but because after the film and during the film, we started working for serious companies and stuff like that, so we thought that we needed to be legal, structured to work, basically, and to make a living and to make money to invest in other projects that we want to do and to keep it alive and going. And It was me and my associate at the moment. We had just done a documentary together, and I was the editor and producer also. And we won an award. We got very happy. And so then I went for the introspective project. But we're still doing, well, already doing stuff for companies, so we needed the structure. Then it's what happened. It's like having a couple. We didn't have the same objectives, and we split, and now he's doing stuff on his own, and I am running Visual Suspects with another name. Well, it changed a little bit. At the beginning, it was the Visual Suspects, and now it's just Visual Suspects with Dot, and we changed the graphic image also. And so it's a different company, but yes, it's a continuation of what we started together, and now he's also working in a jazz film, I think. And his name is Xavi. I think he will do okay because he's talented. The only thing is that we could not work together anymore because I wanted to do music videos and stuff like this. He was more into other stuff, so that's regular. So just wish him the best.
Could you recommend some bands for us that we can play on our show?
Well, some, I would say. But so many styles at the same time. For example, the last Queens of the Stone Age album, I think, is really good. It's really... But this is also commercial at a point because they are big already, but I really like the album. And then to find something that's a bit more strange, there is this band from Barcelona called Cuzo, C-U-Z-O. Also, you can find myspace.com/CUZO band. And it's sort of progressive rock stuff, 70s oriented, with scenes that remind a little bit of the soundtracks of Dario Argento's films, Goblin style, like prog rock, Italian prog rock from the 80s. They're going to play at Primavera Sound, and then I'm going to shoot a music video for them now in June. So I would recommend this band. Then there is this other band from London, which I already made one video for them, and now I'm working on another one. They're called Ulterior, and they've been touring Europe for the last months with the Sisters of Mercy, like warming up for them. And I think, well, they do this kind of industrial drum machine rock. I really like it. When they started, they were much more underground than they are now. Now they are getting a bit more, like, for all audiences, but they still keep a lot of energy. They used to blow them off the stage, at least what I saw in Barcelona. The Sisters of Mercy were very boring, and the Ulterior guys were really good. But I don't know how the rest of the tour was, but the thing is that the guy from the Sisters of Mercy has a low voice, so the band has to play low to catch with him. So you have the false feeling that what you're hearing is like with a low volume, which is okay also because the sound quality was really good, but you expect it to be a bit louder. And they just do it like this. And on the other hand, Ulterior get really, really, really loud. So that's why it's such a difference. And also there was a funny thing with them, with the Faint. They were touring with the Faint, actually. They were starting the tour, and just before some concert in London, they were kicked out of the tour for no apparent reason. And I think that's because they thought that they would really make the Faint look bad. Actually, but I don't know. I think they're going to make it because they work hard for it. Sly is producing them. He's in London every often to record new stuff, and I think the album is going to be out by the end of the year, and it's going to be good, I think.
And how did you become in touch with Sly, the producer?
Well, when I was doing this communication research thing, my PhD director, it's Fernando de Felipe, he's a comic book author and really known screenwriter also, which I haven't seen for a long time now, but I know he's doing good. I was at his place one day and he was playing me this CD by the Black Heart Procession and Solbakken, which is one in the Fish Tank series record. And he mentioned that this producer, Sly Ahadze, is like very visionary, blah, blah, blah. And I fell in love with the album, so I bought it. And then I checked the rest of the series and saw what was in there. And that was the very moment when I was starting to think about the film. And I had already been shooting a couple of shows. And I thought that he would be a really good, interesting external perspective of the of the stuff, of what we could say, the whole picture, because he had worked with many bands and were representative of this. So I just mailed him and found his contact through his website and talked to him about the project, and also he was very cool about it. And then we took a plane, went to London, to Amsterdam, with some friends, and spent New Year's Eve there. We were shooting, partying. And we got back with like 4 hours interview with Slayer, which was what vertebrates the film, actually.
I can imagine that making this movie was more fun than work. Or did I get the wrong impression?
Actually, you can even tell from some shots, especially at the gigs, you can see that all the cameramen were either drunk or fucked up. Imagine was shooting at 3 a.m. after being the whole day in a festival. It was really hard, but it was also really funny. You have a lot of stories to tell about it. And everyone had so much fun. That's basically why they wanted to do it. I'm sure that if I told the same guys to do something boring about a writer that I'm going to do now, they would really tell me to fuck off. But what I was offering was like, yeah, okay, let's go to festivals, let's get drunk, let's shoot, and let's have fun. So everybody was on for it.
So I think this feeling got really good transported.
Yes, I think so too.
Non, mais dégueule pas vraiment.
Si.
To a party, I danced all night. I drank 16 beers and started up a fight. But now I'm jaded. You're out of luck. I'm rolling down the stairs, too drunk to fuck. Your gun. Shooting out cop tires sounds like loads and loads of fun. But in my room, wish you were dead. You bawl like a baby in a razor head. Too drunk to fuck. Too drunk to fuck. Too drunk.
You toured a lot around to interview all these bands, and how long did it take to make the movie?
The whole movie, we started shooting in 2005 and finished by the end of 2006. And then, but it was a parallel process with everything with shooting, because sometimes you would not shoot for a while because you had to wait until the bands came, or you had to move somewhere. So I was always editing. While every time I had something shot, I tried to edit and try to look what works with what, and also make all transcriptions. And so it was a lot of work, actually. We finished the first version by the beginning of 2007. It was 50-something minutes. But there was still something missing. I thought that I needed to be... to push it a little bit, because what we had was very good, and if we wanted to make it very special, I thought that some more footage would do as well. So this friend of mine who owns a production company in Barcelona called La Chula, he's called Benet, he's a very well-known music video maker in Spain, and he had been filming bands for so many years for TV programs and stuff. He had been working for many years, and he had them there just in a box in at his place. So one day we got together, watched the film, and then he started saying, okay, I have this, I have that, we can maybe use it. So then he had done this with a music journalist called Ignacio Julia, who is very good friends with Sonic Youth, Yo La Tengo, and, but really close friends. For example, first time Yo La Tengo played in Barcelona, they were pretty unknown. They slept at his place. They knew from the United States. And then this Ignacio guy now is like 52, 53 years. And so it's been on the run for a long time. So they became associate producers of the film, and we used some of the stuff that they... For example, this Noel Gallagher interview that was there in a box. We just watched it for curiosity, and all of a sudden I realized, like, fuck, what he's saying is so amazing. We need to put it on the film.
Copyright is a big issue nowadays. There has been a big trial against the founders of Pirate Bay, and they have been found guilty and got sentenced for 1 year jail. They also will have to pay $4.5 million. What do you personally think about the copyright problem?
My opinion is that they should go for the real crooks and not for guys doing stuff at home with computers. That the only harm that they may do... I mean, they were not hacking the Pentagon or something like that. They were just, okay, illegally, but they were distributing culture at some point. They were making it accessible to people who maybe cannot buy it or cannot afford it. And also, this internet stuff, it works. For example, if I like a record that might be downloaded or I hear it on the MySpace or stuff, then I'm going to buy it because I want to have it. Mm-hmm. But because I heard it first, so I can decide if I like it or not, if I want to buy it or not. But I don't know. This is just the problems. The people that's having problems is the major companies with this. I don't think the indie labels experience many sales drop because of this, because it's not about that. So if I have to say, for example, that in Barcelona we have this, you can go on the street and buy a CD, for a new music CD, a copy, of course, an illegal copy from some guy in La Ramblas for 50 cents. But if I go there, I will never find a CD that I would buy, actually. Which is the most mainstream stuff. Maybe, okay, maybe you can find the CD of the new CD of U2. I bought it because I like them. But in general, the bands that are, or the bands or musicians, to say, to be generous with the word, that are mostly being pirated or that are victims of this piracy, all of them are millionaires and... I mean, who cares if they made $3 million less than when this was not happening? I mean, I'm even happy about it.
I think it's a little bit annoying because I used YouTube, for example, to find new bands and new music, and it was free advertisement.
Yeah, funny thing that happened to me today. I was uploading a music video that I made onto MySpace, actually, and it was a free creation video with mixed images of everything. It was more like a video art piece. And the music was by this band called Suicide. And I labeled everything like, music is by the band Suicide from this album, published by that company, blah, blah, blah. Okay, then I don't have the rights for this, but it's like a homemade thing that I want to show. And the video, from the very moment that it got uploaded, it got removed from the... And then they would, like, restrict my privileges of uploading stuff onto MySpace until I don't read the full page of what can I do and what I can't do with the stuff that I upload there. So I had to be... I have been taught a lesson, a written lesson, about copyrights. I mean, come on. These social networks, what they do, basically they steal the copyrights from people for life. Well, there was all this thing with Facebook now that they had to withdraw what they said because the users got really annoyed. But this proves something also, is that the user has power. It's something that was not like this before. I don't know, it's very chaotic and messy, and you will never know what you're going to get with all of this. So it's worth being risky and trying different things, because now there are no rules. with all of this. You never know how you might hit the right key or not. So it's not like before, you know, that you had like certain parameters that you were sure or worked for everyone. And now it's not anymore like this. So it's also more interesting. Now you find really, really small bands from the other side of the Atlantic, for example, that come to Barcelona and they play. They got good audience because they're okay, and people know them mainly because of internet, because it's not that they're distributed here or it's hard to find their records or you really have to know what you're looking for. So this opens up doors for artists and musicians to show their work around. But I don't think this was possible before internet at all. I like to remember, for example, the first Coldplay, you know the band Coldplay, everyone knows the band Coldplay. And the first time, I don't know if that was the first time they played in Barcelona, but the only time I have seen them live was in Apollo, which is a not big but quite okay music venue in Barcelona. And we were like 40 people or something like this, just sitting there with the Coldplay playing. And next year, they were already playing arenas. I don't really know what happened with them. But so the proximity was lost forever. Mm-hmm. I mean, now it's totally impossible. I think they still do good albums, though. But they are, to my taste, they are overproduced and everything is so, like, they want to be U2 at some point. You know? Mm-hmm. It's a bit boring. But I think they started as a very honest band. The first album is great. Patches. And I think that internet had a lot to do with this thing also, because before it was not so easy to raise so quick or to fall so quick as well, or internet just makes things more immediate, which is good in a way.
I am not deceived.
One thing I wanted to ask you is if you had the possibility to have a band in your movie, no matter if the members are already dead or if it would be too expensive, what bands would you like to have in your movie?
I would definitely go for Jim Morrison and Sid Barrett from Pink Floyd, the one that got crazy and had to quit the band. I think he died not long ago. Because Jim Morrison, for example, he changed American culture totally. And politically, he was important. And musically, he was important. He was very lost, poor guy. But he had a vision. I mean, that's undeniable. And people still remember him for this. And Syd Barrett, because of this proof that craziness is beauty as well, and something irrational is probably purer than something that's very calculated or meditated. And I would go for many others. I don't know if you ask about that stuff. I'd love to have a chat with Mozart, for example. Or, but yes, that's fiction already.
I don't know if you already mentioned it, but why did you name your movie Introspective?
It's what was saying before, I think, about every film being a little bit autobiographical. At that point, I had to meditate a lot about myself, my life, what to do, what not to do, what I want to have, blah, blah, blah. And this was the soundtrack for my own mental bullshit. So, so it had to do with my personal moment at the moment, at the time when I was more into myself and exploring what was in there and how it could be improved and so on.
Something that has nothing to do with the movie, but did you try Austrian beer?
I can't remember. I'm sure I did, because I had a lot of beer since I'm here, but what brand is it? Is this one Austrian?
No.
Krusovice. What's this? Czech. I don't know. I tried different kinds of beers, but...
Because it would be interesting if they're a bit stronger than...
Well, what they are is bigger, actually. And if they are stronger, then you have double dose of... But it works okay with rock and roll, and there's been also pretty good shows on the night here. Mm-hmm. The band yesterday was great. It's Pas Montagne, sort of hardcore stuff. And also Datahawk was good, mm-hmm. from Denmark. And then there was this Turkish ensemble. There was sort of psychedelic stuff with Eastern instruments that was really, really nice. And tonight there is a good gig as well. It's White Circle Pan Club. It's, mm-hmm. That band is cool.
Is the malted liquor what gets you drunker quicker? What comes in bottles or in cans?
Beer.
Can't get enough of it.
Beer.
How we really love it.
Beer.
Makes me think I'm a man.
Beer.
I could kiss and hug it,
beer.
But I'd rather chuck it.
Beer.
Got my belly out to here.
Beer.
I could not refuse it.
Beer.
I could really use a beer.
Beer,
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 beer, beer, beer, beer, beer, beer, beer.
I can't remember how much I have had. I drank a 12-pack with my dad.
That's my son, the drunken manly stud. I'm proud to be his bud.
Here, have some pretzels.
No, I'll call it quits. Those things give me the schlitz.
Drink with your family. Drink it with your friends. Drink till your fat stomach distends. Beer is liquid bread. It's good for you. We like to drink till we spew. Ooh, who cares if we get fat? I'll drink till then.
As we sing once more. What is the malted liquor? What gets you drunker quicker? What comes in bottles or in cans?
Beer.
Can't get enough of it.
Beer.
How we really love it.
Beer.
Makes me think I'm a man.
Beer.
I could kiss and hug it.
Beer.
But I'd rather chug it.
Beer.
Got my belly out to here.
Beer.
Golly, I adore it.
Beer.
Come on, damn it, pour it. Do it for me. Brew it for me. Feed it to me. Speed it to me.
Beer.
The most wonderful drink in the world.
Hooray!
Thank you. And cheers to all people in the university. Whoever's listening to me. Thanks.
Ja, das war's soweit vom Interview von Aram Garriga. Am Schluss habe ich mir noch einen kleinen Witz erlaubt, eben mit dem Biersong. Jetzt nochmal ein paar Hinweise. Und zwar Warum haben wir dieses Interview wieder gespielt? Tja, weil wir am 16.12. einen Filmabend an der Uni haben. Und zwar eben seinen Film Introspective, den er letzten April beim Crossing Europe präsentiert hat. Ja, ich kann es euch nur sehr empfehlen. Ich werde auch dort sein. Und er hat uns nämlich den Film netterweise selbst zur Verfügung gestellt. Wir sind seither etwas mit ihm im Postkontakt, also im postalen Kontakt mit ihm. Und ich glaube, seiner Firma Visual Suspects dürfte es auch sehr gut gehen. Ihr findet auf unserer Homepage www.uhrwerkapfelsine.at und dann noch ein paar Verlinkungen. Und bezüglich unserer Sendung heute gibt es auch noch was zu gewinnen. Und zwar gibt es seit kurzem Buttons von Uhrwerk Apfelsine. Wir haben noch keine Bilder online gestellt und wir haben den ersten Button, den allerersten Uhrwerk Apfelsine-Button, den es jemals gegeben hat, auch schon verlost. Der glückliche Gewinner freut sich auch schon drüber. Und wir verlosen auch heute wieder ein paar Buttons. Und zwar der Glückliche, der mir sagen kann, wie die Band von Adam Garriga heißt. Sie wurde in der Sendung erwähnt. Ansonsten ein kleiner Tipp. Wenn ihr unsere Seite durchstöbert und vielleicht April, Mai so nachseht im Archiv, werdet ihr bestimmt den Namen der Band herausfinden. Und wenn ihr uns dann eine E-Mail schreibt an uhrwerk.apfelsine@gmx.net mit dem Namen, könnt ihr den Button gewinnen oder mehrere Buttons, denn es wird verschiedene geben. Also einen gibt es schon, die anderen sind noch im Entwurf. Aber da wir etwas im Uni- und Weihnachtsstress sind, haben wir noch nichts online gestellt bezüglich das. Und jetzt nochmal ein Hinweis. Morgen gibt es die Möglichkeit, für Studierende im TNF-Turm Bewerbungsvideos zu drehen. Es sind sehr professionelle Videos und es gibt auch für Studenten der JKU einen Sonderpreis, also es wird verbilligt. Ihr müsst dann nur 50 Euro bezahlen. Wie und wo kann ich mich anmelden? Ihr meldet euch einfach auf der Seite www.meinjobvideo.at an. Ihr könnt, falls ihr jetzt, oh mein Gott, ich habe auf der Schnelle total vergessen, wo ich mich da anmelden kann. Wir haben das auch online gestellt auf unserer Homepage. Nochmal zur Wiederholung, www.meinjobvideo.at. Ja, ich hoffe, dass das ein voller Erfolg wird. Es bringt euch bestimmt was fürs weitere Leben und für die Bewerbungen auf alle Fälle. Wir haben jetzt noch eine halbe Stunde gut und bevor ich euch weiter mit News versorge, sollten wir doch noch ein bisschen Musik spielen. Und da wir noch nicht fertig sind, also noch was zu erledigen haben, was passt da titelmäßig besser als White Lies mit Unfinished Business? So, das kommt jetzt gleich für euch.
Just give me a second, darling, to clear my head. Just put down those scissors, baby, on this single bed. The sand in the hourglass is running low. I came through thunder, the cold wind, the rain and the snow to find you awake by your windowsill. A sight for sore eyes and a view to kill. I love you so much, but feeling my skin, it was cold to the touch. You whispered, where are you? I questioned your doubt, but soon realized you were talking to God now. You got blood on your hands, and I know it's mine. I just need more time, so get
Ja, hier ist wieder Mia Wallace für euch, die Sendung Uhrwerk Apfelsine. Ja, was gibt's noch Interessantes zu erzählen? Und zwar startet, beziehungsweise ist schon gestartet, das Theaterstück Big Bang Löwinger im Theater Phoenix. Und ich glaube, es ist sehr empfehlenswert, denn ich war schon öfters im Theater Phoenix und wie bereits erwähnt hat Edgar, der momentan draußen beim Punschstand arbeitet, also schaut unbedingt beim Punschstand vorbei, falls ihr gerade auf der Uni seid, denn er wird nicht allzu lange da sein. Und der Punschstand hat einen äußerst köstlichen Karibik-Punsch. Und einen, also mit Fruchtstücken drinnen und auch einen sehr guten weißen Glühwein, ich betone weiß, was ja nicht so häufig der Fall ist auf den Weihnachtsmärkten, und mit Mandarinenstückchen. Und ich habe gestern schon dort gearbeitet und mitgebraut und dann muss man natürlich immer Kostproben machen. Und, oh, naja, ihr kennt das ja. Aber ich möchte nun zurückkommen, was wir diese Woche alles so geplant haben, die nächste. Ja, schaut euch Big Bang Löwinger an, unbedingt im Theater Phoenix. Und falls ihr Studenten an der Universität Linz seid, an der Johannes Kepler Universität, dann, und natürlich, wenn ihr im Monat, ich weiß jetzt nicht genau, was die Grenze ist, 900 Euro oder so, oder beziehungsweise wenn ihr Stipendium erhält, dann könnt ihr euch im Sozialreferat der Universität den Kulturpass, also Hunger auf Kunst und Kultur, holen und dann könnt ihr in verschiedene Museen gratis hinein und zum Beispiel auch in oder eben in Theaterstücke. Aber da müsst ihr euch vorher anmelden, denn es gibt immer ein Kontingent auf die Kunst, auf Hunger auf Kunst und Kultur, na, dass ich noch reden kann. Hunger auf Kunst und Kultur. Auf diese Karten gibt es immer ein Kontingent und man muss sich vorher anmelden, aber die Karten sind dafür kostenlos. Also, liebe Studenten, wenn man schon was gratis kriegt und dafür auch noch etwas Kultur und Bildung mitbekommt, sollte man das doch ausnutzen, oder? Naja, jedenfalls sehr zu empfehlen, kann ich nur sagen. Ich habe mir schon geholt, ich bin ja auch nur ein armer Student und für meine Arbeit im Radio kriege ich ja auch kein Geld. Also, schaut einfach mal vorbei dort, tut auch nicht weh. Nehmt euch euren Bescheid mit, den ihr von der Stipendienstelle bekommen habt und dann geht das schon. Ja, was kann ich euch noch Interessantes erzählen? Ich war letzte Woche, Donnerstag, auf einem Konzert. Und zwar von den Sounds. Sie haben im, wie heißt es denn, in der Arena gespielt. Und sie waren wirklich ausgezeichnet. Und vorher hat noch eine Band, Matt and Kim, gespielt. Vielleicht kennen sie einige von euch schon, das ist ein Indie-Pop-Duo aus Brooklyn. Ich bin draufgekommen im Nachhinein, dass ich schon ein Lied von ihnen kannte, und zwar Lessons Learned. Das ist ein, also ich habe das Video mal im Fernsehen gesehen. Da flitzen sie nackig am Times Square. Also ziemlich, ich habe mir gedacht, wow, das würde ich mich nie trauen. Und dann bin ich draufgekommen, oh ja, die kenne ich ja wirklich. Jedenfalls, das war die Vorband, die Support-Band von den Sounds, und sie haben so, also sie waren so natürlich und nett und oh, sie waren fast besser als die Sounds, will ich sagen. Und ich habe mir dann auch gleich das Album von ihnen gekauft. Und oh, sie sind wirklich, oh, sie sind so süß gewesen, oh, so herzig, herzig würde ich sagen, ja. Also die haben mir wirklich, wirklich sehr gut gefallen. Und ich kann sie jedem nur empfehlen. Also wenn jemand die Chance von euch hat, diese Band zu sehen, schaut sie euch unbedingt an. Also, ich werde später noch ein Lied von ihnen spielen, aber zuvor gibt es noch was anderes. Ah ja, genau. Ich möchte noch einen Hinweis machen, und zwar, ihr könnt mit uns immer live skypen über die Sendung. Manchmal haben wir eben aufgezeichnete Sendungen, weil es ja eben auch mit der Uni oft sehr stressig ist. Ansonsten skypen wir natürlich gerne mit euch. Unser Benutzername ist Campus Radio Linz. Ihr habt aber auch die Möglichkeit, mit uns über ICQ Kontakt aufzunehmen. Da lautet die Nummer wie folgt. 20, 41, 93, 58 und die Zusatzzahl 3. Ihr könnt uns auch E-Mails schreiben und eure Musikwünsche dort loswerden. Und zwar bei der, also schreibt eure E-Mails an uhrwerk.apfelsine@gmx.net. Und ihr könnt auch jederzeit, wir freuen uns, wenn ihr auf unserer Seite www.uhrwerkapfelsine schaut. So, jetzt gibt's auch gleich was von Sounds, ist allerdings ein älteres Lied, und zwar Night After Night.
Night
Ja, das ist ein sehr schönes Lied von den Sounds. Was mir auch sehr gut gefällt, ist Tony the Beat. Und in dem neuen Lied von ihnen, und zwar auf dem Album Crossing the Rubicon, was so viel bedeutet wie einen ernsten Schritt wagen, habe ich mir sagen lassen. Rubicon bezeichnet dabei einen Fluss. Naja, egal. Jedenfalls gibt es da das Lied Beatbox und da ist wieder eine Anspielung auf Tony the Beat. Ich glaube, irgendwie die Zeile im Lied ist Anime Tony the Beat. Jedenfalls ist es ganz lustig, finde ich. Aber um nun auf die Support-Band zurückzukommen, Matt und Kim haben ihr zweites Album Grand rausgebracht. Und wie schon erwähnt, kannte ich ja da bereits was, und zwar Lessons Learned. Und ich habe mir gedacht, vielleicht kennt ihr das nicht und wollt mal reinhören. Ein sehr sympathischer Sound, also gibt es jetzt Matt und Kim Lessons Learned. Entschuldigung. So weit zu Matt and Kim. Also, ihr müsst unbedingt mal auf ihre Seite schauen, mattandkimmusic.com. Sie haben eine sehr persönliche Seite, sie haben sogar einen eigenen Fotostream auf Flickr, den man sich ansehen kann, und das Booklet von ihrer CD, da sind eben alle Fotos im kleinen Format aufgelistet, also sie sind irgendwie sehr offen und nett, also sie kommen sehr sympathisch rüber und ich kann es nur empfehlen, mal reinzuhören bei der Musik. Ja, sie sind auf Tour mit den Sounds jetzt. Existieren tut die Band, also geben tut es die Band bereits seit 2004 und sie hatten schon das erste Album, Matt and Kim, wie immer, das erste Album ist immer nach der Band benannt, wie es meistens ist, hatten sie 2006. Demo gibt's To/From hatten sie 2005 und es gibt auch einige Singles, also zum Beispiel von Lessons Learned gibt es sogar eine Vinyl-Single. Die hätte ich mir auch gern gekauft, die war sogar relativ billig und im Nachhinein ärgere ich mich, dass ich die mir nicht besorgt habe. Naja, naja, wie das Leben halt ist. Verpasste Chance, tja, ich hätte es wohl tun sollen. Es gibt ein noch sehr bekanntes Lied von diesem Album und zwar ist es Daylight. Es gibt da zwei Versionen, also Daylight ist das erste Lied und Daylight Outro eben das letzte Lied auf dem Album. Die CD hat 11 Lieder und ich finde für einen Preis von 10 Euro geht das. Und vor allem, sie sind so lieb. Und jetzt sind sie ja noch voll Indie und wahrscheinlich werden sie bald sehr bekannt werden. Also müsst ihr jetzt noch Fan von ihnen werden, damit ihr sagt, ich kenne sie schon länger. Also ich mache das immer so. Aber naja, gut, ist auch meine Art. Ich möchte euch jetzt natürlich das Lied Daylight nicht vorenthalten, denn es gefällt mir persönlich sehr gut. Also hört mal rein. Da ist dann doch das Lied ziemlich schnell und krass zu Ende. Ja, mir gefällt es echt gut. Ich hoffe, euch hat es auch gefallen. Vielleicht sollte ich an der Stelle noch sagen, dass sie wirklich vom Bühnenbild her sehr einfach aufgebaut sind. Ich meine, die Drummerin, Kim. Und dann er spielt am Keyboard. Und also er hat zwei Keyboards, eins ist eben mit den Synthesizer-Sound-Dings drauf und mit der anderen Hand spielt er dann den Beat. Und es ist eigentlich so wenig. Und hinten haben sie noch so eine kleine LED-Leiste, die dann mitleuchtet. Und ich weiß nicht, es ist eigentlich sehr mit sehr wenig verbunden, das ganze Bühnenbild und so. Aber es macht einfach extrem viel her, weil sie so gute Stimmung verbreiten und man ist dann schon richtig aufgeheizt gewesen für die Sounds. Und die Sounds dann hatten eben diese typische Star-Allüre dann. Ich meine, ich mag die Sounds wirklich gerne, aber das war einfach schon so, ja, ich weiß nicht, sagen wir einfach 30 Mal Fuck, bevor wir das nächste Lied angesagt haben, weil wir so cool sind. Ja, ich schmeiß meine Chick ins Publikum, weil ich so cool bin und mein Dosenbier hinten nach. Das ist etwas, was mich doch etwas nervt, vor allem wenn man dann so in der Mitte steht, so genau in Wurfweite, ist jetzt nicht so nett. Da bin ich eher angefressen als wie ein großer Fan noch danach. Naja, aber gut, zum Beispiel, es ist ja auch nicht anders. Was mich verwundert hat, ich dachte eben, es ist mehr so eine Indie-Band der Sounds. Und dann war ich dort und war doch dezent genervt von diesen typischen Ballermann-Typen, die dann zwischenzeitlich schon die ganze Zeit gegrölt haben. Zum Beispiel, haben sie? Ja, ich glaube, sie haben die White Stripes nachgegrölt. So kann man das Lied auch ruinieren. Und so haben sie eben auch Soundslieder etwas nachgegrölt. Das fand ich ziemlich nervig. Aber vielleicht bin ich auch nur überempfindlich. Kann ja auch sein. Wenn euch das auch nervt, dann wisst ihr, wie ich mich fühle. Naja. Wie würde man den Stil von Matt und Kim bezeichnen? Naja, es hat Synthesizer-Beats, es ist leicht zum Tanzen, es ist auch von Kritikern wird es als Indie-Tronic und Dance-Pop bezeichnet, um mal ein bisschen Anglizismen wieder ranzubringen. Ja. Ich meine, wenn man sich anhört, dann merkt man, wie es ist. Und ungefähr so ist das Album auch gehalten. In diesem starke Beats, elektronische Beats auch drinnen. Und vor allem das Schlagzeug ist sehr markant. Also es gibt gute Schlagzeugstellen drinnen. Vielleicht sollte ich euch das anhand eines weiteren Liedes präsentieren. Was ist denn noch gut? Ich gebe euch Good Old Fashioned Nightmare. Das ist auch sehr gut. Ja, liebe Freunde von Uhrwerk Apfelsine, leider ist unsere Sendezeit heute schon wieder zu Ende. Ich muss mich verabschieden und es freut mich, dass ihr heute eingeschaltet habt. Vergesst nicht den 16.12., denn da gibt es die Filmvorführung auf der Universität. Schaut vorbei, es ist echt lustig. Es ist ein toller Film, die Musikvideos von Aram Geriger sind super. Und schaut heute vielleicht noch zum Punschstand vorbei oder schaut morgen zu Bewerbungsfilmen. Meldet euch heute noch an unter meinvideoportal.at. Ich hoffe, das habe ich jetzt richtig gesagt. Ansonsten könnt ihr es auf unserer Homepage uhrwerkapfelsine.at nachlesen. Es hat mich sehr gefreut, dass ihr heute so zahlreich eingeschaltet habt. Und schade, dass die Zeit schon wieder vorbei ist. Es ist schon spät und an der Zeit, langsam Abschied zu nehmen.